to give a little bit of a background in regards to what's going on. In this chapter, we see Asa taking the kingdom of Judah. Asa, he's a descendant of David. He's ruling over the kingdom of Judah. His father, Abijah, dies. And he comes to the kingdom in a time of peace. You know, very often in the Bible, you hear about kings going through times of war and just crazy battles going on with crazy enemies. Well, he comes at a time where it's pretty relaxed. It's a time of peace. And the reason that I chose this passage specifically tonight is that it shows us the various steps that this king took when his kingdom was in a relaxed time, when his kingdom was in a time of peace and there was no war going on. And you know, oftentimes peace and prosperity and relaxed times can be very dangerous to Christians because it can cause them to be lax, it can cause them to fall into sin, it can cause them to be lazy when it comes to preparing for the hard times, and it's crucial for us not to waste the peaceful times in our lives. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 32, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. While you're turning there, I'm going to read from Colossians 4, 5. The Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You see, the Bible says to redeem the time. Our time is short, and we need to walk in wisdom. We need to redeem that time throughout the various phases in life that God gives us. You're there at Proverbs 1, 32. The Bible says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, we don't want to be fools during our times of prosperity and thus be destroyed from it. We want to be wise during our times of prosperity. We want to redeem the time during our times of prosperity that we will not be destroyed. You see, our lives are made up of different phases. I've heard Pastor Jimenez say this often, that you're either going through a storm, just coming out of one, or about to go into one. And truly, that's how our lives are. You know, you might be in a stressful time. You might be in a relaxed time. You know, you might be in the spectrums between, but you know, you're going to go through the stressful times in life. You're going to go through the relaxed times in life. And you know, I believe that if we study the various steps in this scripture, we study the various actions that Asa took, it can help to teach us a lesson of what to do when you're at a relaxed time in your life, when you're at a peaceful time in your life. You say, I'm not at a time of peace right now. My life is really stressful. My life is a mess right now. Well, you know what? Chances are your life is going to level out and go back to a peaceful time in the future. And you ought to just keep the concepts from the sermon in your memory, keep them in store. That way you can make great use of your time when you are in a time of peace. Now, the first action that Asa took that I want to notice tonight is that he focused on purification. He focused on purification. You're there at 2 Chronicles 14, and keep a ribbon there because we're going to be turning back and forth, but that is the central scripture that we're going to be at tonight. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1, the Bible says, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. So to get a little bit more context, turn with me just one chapter back to the end of chapter 13. The Bible says, in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 19, it says, and Abijah pursued after Jeroboam. So this is talking about Asa's father and a battle that he had. And it says, and took cities from him. Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jeshanah with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty, and married 14 wives, and begat 22 sons, and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah, and his ways, and his sayings, are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. So we see 2 Chronicles 13 is closing off, saying that Asa's father fought a great battle, and then basically was done with it, and defeated that king of Israel, and we don't see any indication of any battle. So the Bible definitely seems to indicate that things are going well in the kingdom of Judah when Asa takes the throne. You know, when Abijah passes off the scene, Asa comes on the scene, we see no indication of Asa having to face any battle. In verse 1, it immediately says, in his days the land was quiet 10 years. So what's impressive about Asa is that he comes in, immediately he knows that he needs to purify the land. You see, he didn't need a battle, he didn't need a war, he didn't need some crazy enemy to motivate him to get right with God and to purify the kingdom. Look with me at verse 2. The Bible says, and Asa did that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and broke down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. You see, this man was concerned with his kingdom staying pure, and with his kingdom staying holy, and with his kingdom staying pleasing to God. Look at verse 5. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. So we see here, God gives him rest for all those years, which were 10 years, which is a pretty substantial period of time, a whole decade. And God was pleased with a king who decided to seek him even when things weren't going bad. He was pleased with a king who was motivated to purify his kingdom when he didn't have to deal with any afflictions, when he didn't have to deal with any enemies. And you know, we also need to have that same attitude that Asa had. You know, oftentimes in times of peace, it's easy for us to let sin creep into our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 119, you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 119, verse 71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You see, affliction is often a time in a Christian's life when he gets close to God. You say, why is that? Well, here's the thing. Affliction teaches a Christian, I'm nothing without God. You know, affliction will teach you, I need to have God's favor. I need to be pleasing to God. I need to have God's blessing to me, because that's what really counts when things are going wrong. And God is the one who can turn the situation away. And oftentimes, as Christians, when things start to go well for us, that can be the dangerous time in our life. Because, you know, we tend to forget that God is the one who gives the blessing in our lives. We tend to forget that living a life that's pleasing to God is what can make God decide to make things go well for us. You know, I mean, think of King Saul in the Bible. You know, Pastor went through the study on the books of 1 Samuel, but King Saul, you know, before he was king, we're not going to turn there for sake of time, but he first takes the kingdom. The Bible says he was little in his own eyes, and he was a righteous person. But, you know, when he comes to power, he becomes the absolute ruler of Israel. He starts becoming rebellious. He starts becoming evil. He starts becoming puffed up. That's his downfall. You know, I also think of King Uzziah. Later on in 2 Chronicles 26, we're not going to turn there for sake of time, but the Bible specifically says about this king of Judah named Uzziah. It says in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15, it says, "He was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." So we see a common theme in the Bible of people when they're in affliction, you know, or when they're at a time where it's not in prosperity, they're close to God. But once they get a time of prosperity, once they get a time of peace, once they get a time of a higher position, they start to forget God. You know, the concept makes me think of this chorus that we oftentimes sing called, "Lord, I Need You." It's in the choruses of the week, but the chorus starts out by saying, "Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray." And you know, oftentimes that's how it is in our lives. You know, we find that concept to hold true. When things are going crazy and we're just in the storms of life, that motivates us to pray. That motivates us to stay close to God. But when things start going well, it's very easy for us to get away from Bible reading and to get away from prayer and to get away from seeking God. You know, we see Asa here, though, saying, you know, "I don't care if things are going well. I know I need God's blessing. I know I need to be pleasing to God. I know that the blessing comes from God." Turn with me to Psalm 32, right in the center of your Bible. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8, we find God in this particular psalm. He's giving an interesting analogy using animals. But Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." You see, God doesn't want us to be like animals that need to be forced to go the right way with bit and bridle. We ought not require the afflictions of the chastisement of God to be forced to do the right thing. You know, we, like Asa, we need to cultivate the discipline to purify ourselves even when things are going well, even when God's wrath and chastisement is not upon us. You know, in the things that we watch, and the things that we listen to, and the things that we talk about, and the things that we let our minds think about, and the things that we spend our time in. You know, we need to make sure that we're continually purifying ourselves, and especially when we're in a time of peace, we need to be especially focused on it, because it's very easy for us to get lax in those times of peace. So first off, we saw that Asa took a step of purification. But second, notice with me that Asa also took a step of protection. Go back to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14, look at verse 6, it says, "And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, Let us build these cities, and make about them walls, and towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." So we see right here, we see an emphasis on fences, walls, gates, bars. What do all these things have in common? Well, they're defensive items. They have to do with protection. We see here, Asa's in a time of peace, but he decides to take the necessary measures to protect the cities. He decides to put up the walls, to put up the fences, to put up the gates, to set the bars in place that's going to protect from a potential attack. You know, oftentimes in the peaceful phases in our lives, it can cause us to keep our guards down as Christians. You know, when it comes to the lives of our families, when it comes to our individual lives, when we're in a time of peace, we need to make sure that we're not leaving ourselves open to the attack of the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, you don't need to turn there, but the Bible reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil's just walking about like a roaring lion, trying to find an opening, trying to find where our defense is weak, so that he can ruin us, so that he can destroy our lives. You know, we need to make sure that we're protecting ourselves against the wiles of the devil, even when we're in a time of peace. Now, here's the thing. I work in IT, and at my company, they're very, very strict about the various applications that they allow people to download, about the various printers that they'll allow people to install. And I mean, if we let people install the wrong printers or install unsecured applications, I mean, this could cause a vulnerability in the system. I mean, it could leave the door open to hackers to come in and try to hack the system. I mean, every week I'm telling people at work, I can't install that printer for you. I can't install that application for you. I mean, how many times do we hear about the concept that the U.S. is afraid of Russia doing a cyber attack? And I mean, today you hear about it all the time. Companies, governments, they are building up significant walls and significant fortresses against these cyber threats. You know, but more important than any country, more important than any government, more important than any company, in our Christian lives, we need to make sure that we're building up the walls against the wiles of the devil. We need to make sure that we're building walls against the threats that can come to us. You know, the threats against us are endless. But here's some examples. We need to build walls against the people we allow in our lives. We need to build walls against the wrong types of people. Proverbs 13, you don't need to turn there, but Proverbs 13, 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." The Bible says there's a certain type of person that if you allow them in your lives, you're going to be destroyed. You know, there's some people you just need to cut ties with. You just need to tell them, "I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're going to destroy me if I keep hanging out with you." You know, that's pretty much when I first got saved, that's what I had to do with a lot of my old high school friends. There's people you just need to not talk to anymore because they're going to destroy you. You know, we need to make sure we're building walls against just losing our temper. We need to make sure we're having a godly temperament. Proverbs 25, 28, you don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Interesting that the Bible would use that type of language for somebody who doesn't have rule over their own spirit. You say, you're basically without walls, you're without defenses if you're somebody who just flies off the handle. You know, this includes basically keeping yourself from being over angry or being soon angry or being overly bitter or being overly emotional. You know, we need to build a wall against laziness. How about that? The Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 24, you don't need to turn there, but it says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." You know, in times of peace, it's very easy to let areas like this slip in our lives, but we need to not let the walls down. You know, we need to be like Asa, who says, you know, "I don't see an immediate threat right now, but I'm going to build the walls. I'm going to build the bars. I'm going to build the fences." You know, because here's the thing. When the threat comes, it's too late. When the immediate threat is there, it's too late to decide to build the walls. You know, if a city was to go to war and there was no walls and the war was already there, it's too late. You can't start building a wall when you're already at war. We need to build the walls before the threat comes. So we saw, if you'll go back to 2 Chronicles 14, we saw Asa, he focused on purification of his kingdom. He focused on the protection of his kingdom. But thirdly, notice with me this. He focused on the perception of his kingdom. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 7. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 7. The Bible says, "Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." Now there's one type of structure that Asa builds here that's a little bit different in function than the rest. Can anybody guess what that is? Well, it's the towers. Here's the thing. The towers can serve as a protective measure in a way because, you know, remembering back on Judges chapter 9, we're not going to turn there for sake of time, but the Bible talks about the story with Abimelech and the tower of Shechem, that people go up to the tower to be protected. But here's the thing. One of the main functions of the tower is to open up a city's perceptions. It's to allow watchmen to go up the top and see threats that are not immediate but are in the distance. You know, they're positioned highly. The watchmen can go up and see things that are coming from far away. So we see here, Asa, he's not just worried about the immediate threats that are coming to his kingdom. He also wanted to be aware of any potential threats in the distance. He built the gates, he built the bars, he built the fences, but he also made sure that he built the towers so he could see what's coming in the distance. You know, as it was with Asa, it's not enough for us just to protect ourselves from the immediate threats. We need to be vigilant. We need to keep watch for future upcoming threats. You know, again, I'll read that verse, 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament. We got Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, while you're turning there, I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant." sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. Here's the thing. The Bible says for the leader of a New Testament church, for somebody who's going to be overseeing the New Testament church, you need to be vigilant. You need to be somebody who's keeping your eyes open. You need to be somebody who's going to see the upcoming threats. You're there at Ephesians 5:15. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. If you drill down to the root of that word circumspectly, you have circum and spect, and it basically means one who looks like spect, one who looks around, circum, right? One who looks around, one who sees the things that are going on around him. You know, we need to be people who look around in our lives. You know, there might be people in our lives that we don't need to cut ties with right now, but if we start to notice some odd tendencies in them, we need to keep an eye on them. I'm not saying we need to cut them right now. We need to keep an eye on them. We need to be vigilant about them. You know, people that we let our children fellowship, people that we let our wives fellowship, we need to keep an eye on them. If we see any potential threats, even if they're not immediate, we need to keep an eye on them. You know, hobbies that we have that are not taking us away from the things of God, but if we see that they kind of tend to have a tug on us sometimes to waste our time and to try to take us away from the things of God, we need to keep an eye on them. We need to keep an eye on ourselves when we're engaging in those hobbies and make sure that they're not starting to have dominion over us. You know, it might be a sport that you watch or play, which may not be wrong in and of itself, but if you start to sense that it starts to tug away and start to waste too much of your time, you need to keep an eye on it. You know, habits that you have that are not out of control right now, but if you know you've had, you know, trouble with them in the past, you need to keep an eye on it. Even if it's not an immediate threat, you need to keep an eye on it. Be vigilant that it's not going to mess you up in the future. You know, like Asa did, let's be vigilant. Let's keep an accurate perception of what's going on. Let's keep an accurate perception of what's going to happen in the distance of any potential threats that may come against us or our families, even if not immediately. So we see that Asa, he focused on purification. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 14. He focused on the purification of his kingdom. He focused on the protection of his kingdom. He focused on the protection of his the perception of his kingdom by building up the towers. But fourth, notice with me his focus on the power of his kingdom. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. You know, even though there wasn't an immediate threat in Asa's kingdom, Asa made sure he got his army ready. He made sure he got his army ready with shields and bows and spears and targets, and he makes sure they're all mighty men of valor in his army. You know, Asa focused on physical weapons, but we know that per 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We know that the Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, it says that we need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, in times of peace, we need to make sure that we're reading our Bibles. And we need to make sure that we are learning how to handle the sword of the Spirit. We need to make sure that we know our Bibles and we know how to handle ourselves when we enter into those situations that are a time of stress and that are a time of trial and that are a time of battle in our life. We need to make sure that when we've been in a time of peace, we've already been in our Bibles. We already know how to handle the sword of the Spirit. We already know how to defend against those situations. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Back to Proverbs chapter 2, but you know, when things go bad, when we lose our job, when we have a conflict, when we have somebody attacking us, when we're attacked by some other type of affliction, it's crucial for us that we have the biblical wisdom to know how to deal with that. Proverbs 2, 6, the Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, one of the worst feelings you can go through is that when the trial comes and when the battle comes and when the stressful thing comes in your life, it's the worst feeling to have been walking in the flesh and to just be obsessing and thinking, you know, I hope I'm just not acting emotionally out of this. You know, I hope I'm not letting my emotions get the best of me. I hope I'm not just letting myself be blinded by my emotions because I know I haven't been in my Bible like I should have been. I know I've been walking in the flesh. I know I haven't been walking in the Spirit like I should have been. And the trial is here. And you know, I can see myself, I'm probably not acting the right way. You know, I've been through that before. You know, you wish you would have read your Bible during the time that you were at a peaceful time. You know, you wish you would have been reading the Bible in previous weeks because you know right now you're not reasoning like a godly person probably. You know that you've been in the flesh. You know, it's crucial for us in the times of peace to be like the psalmist who said in Psalm 119, you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, it's important to hide the word of God in your heart. Store the word of God with you that it's going to keep you from committing sins, especially during a time of peace, especially at a time where you don't have that motivator and you don't have that fire under you to try to motivate you to read the Bible. You need to make sure that you're disciplining yourself to know how to use the Bible and to know sound wisdom and sound judgment, which, by the way, only comes from the word of God. going by this worldly wisdom and these worldly battle plans and these worldly, you know, type of strategies, you know, that's just going to end up messing you up, especially if you're a Christian. God wants you to rely on Him. He wants you to rely on His word for judgment and wisdom and to know what to do and to know how to act justly. You know, when the trial comes, if you haven't been in the word, your understanding hasn't been constantly been transformed by the renewing of your mind, as the Bible says. It can be a very dangerous time for us. I mean, you can act very foolishly and in a fleshly way if you haven't been reading your Bible. Again, in Psalm 119, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." You know, let's make a commitment that we're in a time, when we're in a time of peace, we're going to learn how to exercise that sort of the Spirit. We're going to learn how to use the Bible to make the wise and prudent choices. That way, when the trial comes and when the stressful time comes, we've already been in with the Word. And we know what to do. And we know how to act according to the wisdom of the Word of God. And we know how to act prudently and justly and with righteousness and with wisdom. So, go back to 2 Chronicles 14. We saw that Asa, he focused on the purification of his kingdom, the protection of his kingdom, the perception of his kingdom. He focused on his kingdom's power. But lastly tonight, notice with me Asa's presumption. Asa's presumption. What do I mean by his presumption? The definition of presumption is an act or instance of taking something to be true. Here's the thing. Asa presumed the fact that conflict would eventually come. What do I mean by that? Notice with me, verse 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 7. "Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars." Notice this phrase, "while the land is yet before us." Notice those words. He said, "while the land is yet before us." You know, part of the reason why he took those steps of precaution and he took those steps of protection in the time of peace is that he knew the conflict is eventually going to come. You know, he knew his time of peace is going to come to an end eventually. The day of battle, the day of stress, the day of conflict is going to eventually come. And it did come. Look down at verse 9. Verse 9. "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha." You know, there came a day, even for Asa, when the conflict did come. Look at verse 11. "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So we see his day of battle eventually came. There came a time when the storms of life came. You know, we also need to be aware the storms of life are going to come. You know, there's going to come a time when the trouble is eventually going to come to us. You know, turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. Matthew 18, verse 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to read from James chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Here's the thing. God oftentimes will give you trials and temptations in your life to you know, try you and cause you to receive a reward and cause you to receive the crown of life. God will use those things to strengthen you. And you're there at Matthew 18, verse 7. Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." Notice, he said, it must needs be that offenses come. "But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." You know, if we keep in mind that the offense is eventually going to come, the trial is eventually going to come, the storm of life is eventually going to come, the battle is eventually going to come. You know, if we keep that in mind, it's going to give us a proper expectation of life. It's not going to give us the stupid expectation of life that these phony prosperity preachers try to give their congregations. Everything's going to go well for you. You have God's favor on your life. And somehow, if you have God's favor on your life, that means that everything's going to go well for you. That's contrary to what the Bible says. "Yea, and all that will of God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Amen. That's what the Bible says. You know, this garbage of just this prosperity gospel, everything's going to go well in your life. You know, it's going to cause you to have significant shaking of your faith and have significant doubts when the trial ends up coming. You know, the trial's going to come in your life. You know, and if we have just a proper perspective and a proper expectation that the trial is going to come, it's going to serve as a motivator for us to take the proper steps. Take the steps that Asa took during his time of peace. So, in conclusion, let's make sure that when we're in a time of peace, we're focusing on purifying our lives. We're focusing on getting the sin out of our lives, even when we don't have God's wrath upon us to try to motivate us to get it right. You know, just focus on purifying yourself. You don't need to have God's wrath and God's chastisement on you to get right. Just get right on your own. Have that discipline. You know, focus on protecting yourself and protecting your family from potential sins and potential threats that may come up when you're still in that time of peace. It's going to be too late when you're in the time of battle. You know, focus on keeping your perception accurate. Make sure you're vigilant. Keep your eyes open for potential threats. You know, there may be threats that are not immediate, but you need to be vigilant and see what may be coming to the horizon and see things that may potentially become problems that are not problems right now. You know, focus on your power, on having the power of God in your life. You know, the Word of God's our power. Make sure you're reading the Word. The Bible says, is not thy word like unto an hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Make sure you have God's power on your life. You know, make sure you're using the power of God and you know, make sure that you have the wisdom that comes from the Word of God to deal justly and to deal righteously and to deal with wisdom when the trial does come. And lastly, it's safe for you to have the presumption that the trial is going to come. The offense is eventually going to come. The affliction and the battle is eventually going to come. Keep that in perspective. Take the right steps. That way you're not going to be caught off guard when it does come. Let's